Have you ever wondered why some traders consistently outperform the market while others struggle to break even? Mark Minervini's Think and Trade Like a Champion offers a masterclass in trading psychology and strategy from someone who transformed a few thousand dollars into millions through disciplined trading. This isn't just another trading book. It's the culmination of 33 years of market experience from a trader who achieved 220% annual returns over 5 consecutive years, a 33,500% total return, and won the U.S. Investing Championship with 155% return. Even legendary investor Jack Schwager described Minervini's performance as nothing short of astounding in his book Stock Market Wizards. Beyond Wall Street, the book has gained a following among celebrities like rapper 50 Cent, who credited Minervini's teachings for helping him make millions in the stock market. Whether you're a novice or seasoned trader, this book provides the blueprint for developing the mindset and methodology of a champion trader. Success in trading isn't about luck or natural talent. It's about making a conscious decision to excel. Minervini emphasizes that this decision point is the crucial first step toward trading mastery. In 1990, 7 years after his first trade, Minervini made the firm commitment to become the world's best stock trader. Until that moment, he merely dabbled with predictably mediocre results. Once he fully committed, everything changed. This commitment reflects a fundamental truth. Champions don't leave greatness to chance. They make a deliberate choice to win and maintain that focus daily. As Minervini puts it, those who win can't stand not to win, while good losers are likely to remain losers. This mindset separates the elite from the average. Within every trader, two competing forces exist, what Minervini calls the builder and the wrecking ball. The builder is disciplined and process-driven, trusting that results will follow from perfecting the method. Mistakes are viewed as valuable teachers in a continuous improvement loop. The wrecking ball, conversely, is ego-driven and fixated on immediate results, abandoning strategies that don't produce quick wins and rarely taking ownership of outcomes. This internal battle resembles the Native American tale of two wolves fighting within us. One vengeful and angry, the other understanding and kind. The one that wins will be the one we choose to feed. Minervini recognizes both exist within him, but chooses to feed the builder and starve the wrecking ball, a mindset more important than any trading strategy. To achieve trading success, you must also align your belief system with your actions. If you believe big returns require big risks, a low-risk, high-reward strategy won't resonate with you. When trading beliefs conflict with your strategy, inner conflict will hold you back. Whatever approach you choose, make sure you fully believe in it to avoid self-sabotage. The path to trading mastery requires modeling success. Minervini's SIPA strategy identifies characteristics shared by super-performance stocks throughout history. Following Anthony Robbins' advice that to excel like the masters, you must first learn to think like them, Minervini studied legendary traders intensively. Like Newton standing on the shoulders of giants, he built upon existing knowledge rather than reinventing the wheel. Perhaps most importantly, success in trading isn't about innate talent. It's about persistence and discipline. No one is a natural stock trader. Like elite violinists who practiced over 10,000 hours compared to less accomplished peers 4,000 hours, trading mastery requires dedicated effort over time. Those who succeed maintain one attitude: keep going until you succeed or die trying. Quitting is never an option. Trading without a plan is like driving in an unfamiliar city without GPS. You might eventually reach your destination, but the journey will be inefficient and stressful. Most investors enter the market with minimal preparation, committing thousands based on tips or cursory research. This approach virtually guarantees mediocre results at best and devastating losses at worst. A proper trading plan establishes clear parameters for entries, risk management, profit-taking, and position sizing. It creates a baseline of expectations that helps distinguish between normal pullbacks and genuine problems. Without this roadmap, you'll likely fall into the trap of rationalizing losses and missing opportunities. When Minervini started trading, his only strategy was buying depressed big-name companies, believing they were safe and would eventually recover. He learned painfully that no stock is truly safe. Even blue-chip companies like General Electric can lose 90% of their value. Having a process establishes ground rules that help determine whether your approach is working. Any process is better than none, as it provides a foundation from which to make adjustments and improvements. Professional traders prepare for virtually every situation through what-if contingency planning. Before making any trade, Minervini has already determined responses to any conceivable development. This preparation allows for swift, decisive action when positions change behavior or face unexpected events. Your contingency plans should include specific exit points for losses, criteria for potential re-entry, methods for selling into strength, protocols for protecting profits, and procedures for handling catastrophic situations. When trading, three priorities must guide your actions. First, limit your loss by defining risk and setting stop losses. Second, protect your line by moving stops to break even once you have a decent profit after the first natural reaction. Third, protect your profit using trailing stops to prevent good-sized gains from slipping away. A well-constructed plan includes both offensive and defensive elements. On offense, Minervini expects quick upward movement after purchase, particularly with volatility contraction pattern VCP breakouts. He looks for follow-through buying over multiple days with increased volume, a key sign of institutional rather than retail buying. The best trades rally for several consecutive days, showing persistent institutional accumulation. Bill Berger's wisdom, "I want to own tennis balls, not eggs," has been worth millions to Minervini. After a stock breaks through a pivot point, he watches closely to determine its resilience. Healthy stocks bounce back like tennis balls after brief pullbacks, finding support and pushing to new highs within days. Volume should contract during pullbacks and expand during advances. Strong stocks display more up days than down days during the initial rally phase, ideally 3 up days out of 4, or even 7 to 8 consecutive up days. This pattern indicates institutional buying that can't be completed in a single day. Quality stocks are often hard to buy, offering few opportunities for better fills than the initial breakout price. Every trading plan must account for failure. You need to recognize problematic signs that warrant exiting before hitting your stop. Watch for violations like a stock closing below its 20-day moving average soon after a breakout, or 3 consecutive lower lows on increasing volume. When multiple negative signals combine, the trade's chances of success diminish dramatically. Without a clear plan, you'll get caught in the paralysis regret cycle, freezing at key decision points, then regretting your inaction. Successful speculation means anticipating movements, executing your plan, evaluating results, and returning with improved approaches. Every morning, Minervini reminds himself of his capacity for self-destruction, a ritual acknowledging that respecting risk is paramount in trading. While you can't avoid risk entirely, you can minimize and control it by understanding exactly what you stand to lose before considering potential gains. This mindset is essential because losing all your capital ends the game completely. Most investors fixate on buying and potential profits, letting greed lead to impatience. But superior performance requires controlling risk with every trade. Minervini always determines his exact stop-loss price before entering any position, focusing on downside protection rather than upside potential. Trading without stop-losses is like driving without brakes. You might survive briefly, but a crash is inevitable. Mental stops are worthless without discipline to execute them. Too often, traders holding losing positions tell themselves they'll sell at break-even, while losses keep mounting. Every catastrophic loss begins as a small one. The only protection against devastating losses is accepting small ones before they spiral out of control. everyone has an emotional stop-loss, the point where pain becomes unbearable. For most investors, this threshold far exceeds what makes mathematical sense, resulting in significant financial and psychological damage. Despite what some pundits claim, Minervini has never met a consistently successful trader who operates without stop-loss protection. Amateurs shift from being traders when right to investors when wrong, becoming what Jesse Livermore called involuntary investors who harvest small profits and large losses. You can't predict whether a 15% pullback is the beginning of a 60% decline. Even the best traders are only right 60 to 70% of the time in healthy markets, but you can succeed being right just 50% of the time if you keep losses small. Losses work against you geometrically. The deeper the loss, the harder recovery becomes. A 5% decline requires a 5.26% gain to break even, while a 50% loss demands a 100% gain. A 90% drawdown needs a staggering 900% gain to recover. Minervini's maximum allowable loss is 10%, though his average loss is much less. Highly volatile stocks with dramatic price swings make risk control nearly impossible. Setting stops wide enough to accommodate wild movements exposes you to unacceptable downside risk. Think of stocks as horses. Why choose a bucking bronco when there are plenty of well-behaved alternatives? To control risk effectively, Minervini enters positions as close to his stop as possible, what's known as trading near the danger point. The goal is setting stops that allow normal price fluctuation while staying close enough to the danger point to limit mathematical risk. Trading near the danger point means finding low-risk entries. In trading, you control only four things: what you buy, how much you buy, when you buy, and when you sell. Once you own a stock, you can't control its movement any more than you can influence weather. With only one decision under your direct control after entering a trade, when to sell, that decision becomes critically important. Accepting that only you can be wrong, never the market, is difficult because of ego. The ego drives rationalization, making you hold on to losses rather than admit mistakes. A strategy is only as good as your discipline to follow your own rules. Associate pleasure with taking small losses and pain with large ones to overcome ego-driven resistance. To properly manage risk, you must understand both sides of the risk/reward equation. Setting a 10% maximum loss is meaningless if your average gain is only 5%. You'd need to be right 70% of the time just to break even. Conversely, with 10% average gains and 5% average losses, you can be right on only one-third of your trades and still succeed. Risk isn't arbitrary. It must be adjusted based on potential gain. With Minervini's average losses around 4 to 5% and gains averaging 15%, his risk appears appropriate. But to confirm this, he needs his batting average, percentage of winning trades. In trading, as in baseball, nobody bats 1,000. At a 50% batting average, losses should be half your gains to maintain a 2-to-1 reward-risk ratio. Minervini prefers maintaining profitability with a 25% batting average rather than 75% because it builds failure into the system. By keeping losses at a fraction of gains, he can tolerate more batting average risk, meaning he can be wrong more often and still make money. You may have heard that when setting stop losses, you should allow more room for volatile stocks. Minervini strongly disagrees. High volatility often occurs during tough markets when gains are smaller and batting average is lower. Once your batting average drops below 50%, increasing risk proportionately to gains will eventually cause negative expectancy. If you're trading poorly and your batting average falls below 50%, the last thing you want is to increase downside room. This isn't opinion, it's mathematical fact. Many investors give losing positions more freedom, inflicting deeper losses. When results slip and they get knocked out of trades only to watch stocks rebound, they think they should have given more room. This is exactly wrong. The only time Minervini gives positions more room is when things are working well, as a good market will bail him out occasionally. In difficult markets, he tightens stop losses, settles for smaller profits, eliminates margin immediately, reduces position sizes, and gradually returns to normal parameters when his batting average and reward risk profile improve. Expectancy is your percentage of winning trades multiplied by average gain, divided by percentage of losing trades multiplied by average loss. Maintain positive expectancy and you're a winner. Minervini's results went from average to stellar when he committed to making every trade an intelligent risk-reward decision. Your risk needs to be determined as a function of expected profits. Losses are a function of expected gain. You can determine upside potential through theoretical base assumptions, TBA, projecting a specific move, or result-based assumption, examining your actual average gains on trades. Using RBA to determine risk takes discipline. Most traders set stops based on crystal ball assumptions rather than actual results. You don't have to set your stop loss on your entire position at one price. You can use staggered or bracketed stops while still mitigating losses at your desired level. For example, if you want to limit risk to 5%, you could set stops on one-third of your position at 3%, one-third at 5%, and one-third at 8%. Your total loss would still be around 5%, but you'd have a chance to stay in the position if it recovers. When a stock rises by 3 times your risk and exceeds your average gain, move your stop to at least break even. If it continues rising, look for opportunities to sell and secure profits. Breaking even may feel disappointing on a trade that was once profitable, but it's far better than turning a gain into a loss. Mark shares a story about becoming a slot car racing enthusiast, where he meticulously documented results with a stopwatch and notebook to improve performance. Whether perfecting slot car racing or stock trading, measurement is invaluable for those disciplined enough to use it. By tracking results, you gain insights no book, seminar, or system could provide. At Master Trader workshops, few participants know their average gain, average loss, and percentage of winning trades. Without knowing your trading results, you can't intelligently set expectations. It's like flying without instruments. Most traders avoid measuring results because they don't want to face bad trades, hoping they'll magically improve without effort. Keep a spreadsheet of every trade, not just the ones you want to remember. Record all buys and sells to build a track record of average losses, average wins, and their frequencies. Track largest monthly gains and losses, plus average holding times. Don't mix strategies in your calculations. Keep records strategy-specific. Like insurance companies using actuarial data, you should base risk on your average gain, not your best trade. Keep a daily trading journal and update it without fail. Winners don't take information for granted. They realize every experience is a precious lesson to study. They understand memory's limitations and keep journals to compare expectations with reality. Your spreadsheet should actively guide your trading decisions, not just record past performance. When cognizant of your numbers, you'll weigh every trade against your records. For example, as a loss grows from 5% to 10%, you'll remember having to log it and see its impact on your average, motivating you to cut losses sooner. Like photography's triangle of ISO, f-stop, and shutter speed determining exposure, trading has its own triangle: average win size, average loss size, and ratio of wins to losses, batting average. You need to balance these factors based on your actual trading results to maintain a mathematical edge. Beyond basic metrics, monitor stubborn trader indicators, largest monthly gains and losses, plus holding periods for both winners and losers. These reveal critical patterns. If your largest losers exceed your largest gainers, you're stubbornly holding losses while taking small profits. Similarly, if you hold losers longer than winners, you're doing exactly what you shouldn't. Over time, your trading results distribute along a bell curve that should be skewed to the right. Minervini aims to contain losses to 10% or less, creating the wall on the left side, while letting profits run on the right. By tracking your curve regularly, you maintain an edge, ensuring more data appears on the right than left. Never underestimate the power of small gains compounded over time. Higher turnover with smaller gains often yields better returns than lower turnover with larger gains. Traders constantly battle indecisiveness and regret, vacillating between greed and fear. The antidote, rules and realistic goals. When a stock is up significantly, say 20% versus your average 10% gain, deploy the sell half rule. This creates a psychological win-win. If the stock rises further, you're glad you kept half. If it drops, you're glad you sold half. Before risking capital, you must fully comprehend the mathematics behind your trading. The difference between compounding and not compounding can be dramatic. Consider two traders starting with $100,000 making identical trades with 50% gains and 40% losses alternating. Larry, who doesn't reinvest profits, makes 120%, $220,000, while Stuart, who compounds returns, loses 71.75%, down to $28,250. The deadliest mistake traders make is compounding errors instead of capital. When positions move against you, buying more to average down is throwing good money after bad, a practice that destroys more accounts than almost anything else. Breaking rules just this one time puts you on a slippery slope toward undisciplined trading that eventually leads to ruin. Paul Tudor Jones's mantra, "Losers average losers," contains powerful wisdom. Only losing traders average down on losing positions. That even one of history's greatest traders needed this reminder demonstrates how seductively dangerous this practice is. When a stock moves against you, overcome your ego and exit while losses remain small. Once a secular market leader tops out, there's a 50% chance it will decline by 80% and an 80% chance it will decline by 50%. After big upward moves, market leaders experience average declines exceeding 70%. Every major collapse begins as a minor pullback. Disciplined traders limit small losses rather than rationalizing why stops should be ignored or throwing good money after bad. Unlike department store bargains, cheaper stocks aren't necessarily good deals. A declining stock price often signals legitimate problems. Buying solely because something is cheap creates a psychological trap. The cheaper it gets, the more attractive it seems based on the same flawed rationale, making it increasingly difficult to sell as losses mount. When a stock drops significantly despite positive earnings reports, it signals differential disclosure. Institutional investors know something you don't. Never buy a stock that's declining sharply on heavy volume, regardless of how compelling the story sounds. The market's reaction matters more than the narrative. Focus on the process, not the outcome. Like a tennis match is won by consistently moving the ball across the net, trading success comes from executing a disciplined plan rather than obsessing over profits. Making money results from effectively carrying out your strategy. Minervini transformed from mediocre to stellar performer when he stopped worrying about money and focused entirely on being the best trader possible while strictly following his rules. Big trading success comes from linking small successes over time. Start with pilot buys, small positions that can be increased if they work. Only scale up exposure when initial positions show profits. This discipline ensures you're trading your smallest when performing worst and your largest when performing best. Like poker players who calculate pot odds, smart traders ensure their risk-reward ratio favors them. Taking equal risk and reward, 20% risk for 20% gain, leads to losses over time due to trading costs. Always get odds, never lay odds. Keep risk to a fraction of potential gains to maintain a mathematical edge. Once a stock moves up significantly, protect your profit. At minimum, move your stop to break even. Minervini's priorities are, first, protect against large losses with initial stops, then protect principal once the stock rises, finally, protect profits once he has decent gains. When a stock rises to 3 times his risk amount, he always moves his stop up. Yesterday's profit becomes today's principal. Protect both equally. While quarterbacks can successfully call last-minute audibles in football, changing your trading plan on the spot rarely works in trading. Even as a 33-year professional trader, Minervini never strays from having a complete plan before entering a position. On-the-spot decisions are typically driven by emotions rather than strategy, especially when money is involved. Never hold large positions into earnings reports without a reasonable profit cushion. With at least 10% profit, holding through earnings might be justifiable. But without profit or at a loss, sell or reduce position size significantly to guard against potential 10-15% gaps. Like a cheetah waiting patiently for the perfect moment to strike, successful traders must develop sit-out power, the ability to wait for precisely the right circumstances before entering a trade. Circumventing rules and forcing trades due to impatience will dig a hole requiring significant effort just to break even. The foundation of Minervini's trading approach is to always have the wind at his back by only buying stocks in long-term uptrends. Despite seeming obvious, many traders overlook this principle and focus on short-term patterns without considering the larger context. Trading with the trend is like surfing. You need to catch the wave rather than swim against the tide. Charts function like an EKG for stocks, revealing whether price action is normal or concerning. Through price and volume analysis, charts help determine if a stock is under accumulation or distribution. They don't predict the future with certainty, but show what a stock should do, making exit decisions clearer when performance deviates from expectations. Stocks cycle through four distinct stages over years or decades, but Minervini only buys during stage two. During the other three stages, 1, 3, and 4, you're either losing money or wasting time. Stage two represents the optimal buying opportunity in a stock's life cycle. Based on studies going back to the late 1800s, more than 95% of the biggest winning stocks made their huge price gains while in a stage two uptrend. Minervini's trend template outlines non-negotiable criteria that every stock must meet to be considered. A stock must meet all 8 criteria to be in a confirmed stage 2 uptrend, including trading above key moving averages, having upward trending moving averages, being within certain percentages of 52-week highs and lows, and showing strong relative strength. Growth stocks that appear expensive often get more expensive, while cheap stocks tend to get cheaper, especially in stage 4 downtrends. Super performers command premium valuations, like a Ferrari costs more than a secondhand Hyundai. Billionaire investor Bill Ackman learned this lesson the hard way with Valeant Pharmaceuticals, which fell 92% after breaking below its 200-day moving average. Once Minervini confirms a stock is in stage 2 uptrend, he looks for a volatility contraction pattern, a digestion period or consolidation of previous gains. The most common characteristic of constructive price structures is a contraction of volatility with receding volume at specific areas. A VCP typically shows a sequence of 2 to 6 price contractions, with each successive pullback generally about half the previous one. Like wringing water from a towel, each contraction in a VCP makes the stock tighter. It corrects less and less from left to right on successively lower volume as supply diminishes. When a stock goes through several contractions, it becomes lighter and can move more easily in one direction. Bit Auto Holdings, BITA, demonstrated this perfectly in 2013 with a classic VCP pattern that led to a 465% gain in just 10 months. Each stock creates its own unique consolidation pattern or technical footprint. Minervini tracks these patterns using 3 components: time, days, week since base started, price, depth of largest correction and narrowness of smallest contraction, and symmetry, number of contractions throughout the basing process. The VCP reveals supply and demand dynamics as a stock transfers from weak hands to strong hands. During volatility contraction, increasingly less supply comes to market as long-term buyers absorb shares from eager short-term sellers. A stock under institutional accumulation almost always shows VCP characteristics before forming what Minervini calls the pivot buy point, A pivot point is the call to action price level, representing the completion of a stock's consolidation and the cusp of its next advance. When a pivot aligns with the line of least resistance, a stock can move very fast once crossing this threshold because supply is low and even minimal demand can drive prices higher. Rarely does a correct pivot point fail when coming out of a sound consolidation in a healthy market. Every correct pivot point develops with a contraction in volume, often well below average. The final contraction should show volume below the 50-day average, with 1 or 2 days of extremely low volume. Though many investors worry about this apparent lack of liquidity, it's precisely what occurs before a big move. When little supply is available, even small buying can rapidly drive prices higher. Position sizing is critical for trading success. While concentration can accelerate gains, overexposure creates unacceptable risk. Never risk your entire account on one stock, yet avoid excessive diversification, which dilutes performance. The optimal approach? Risk only 1.25 to 2.5% of total equity per trade, with tighter stops for less experienced traders. Either adjust your stop percentage or position size to achieve proper risk levels. The optimal position sizing strategy includes keeping risk between 1.25 to 2.50% of total equity, using maximum 10% stops, maintaining average losses at 5 to 6%, never exceeding 50% in a single position, targeting 20 to 25% positions in the best stocks, and holding no more than 10 to 12 stocks total. Ideally, concentrate capital in your top 4 or 5 picks with 20 to 25% allocations each, though often starting smaller, 5 to 10%, until stocks prove themselves. When portfolio management reveals underperforming positions, use the 2-for-1 rule. Sell half of each of 2 mediocre performers to finance a new full position in a more promising stock. This approach maintains proper diversification while upgrading portfolio quality. Avoid prematurely exiting strong performers, especially early in bull markets. Sometimes the best stock to buy is the one you already own. Consider selling portions of winners to diversify, but maintain significant exposure to proven leaders. Excessive diversification leads to diversification, spreading capital so thin that even big winners can't meaningfully impact overall performance. Super performance requires concentration in the best names at precisely the right time, using intelligent stops for protection rather than diversification. Selling profitable positions presents 2 basic scenarios: selling into strength while buyers are plentiful, or selling into weakness when price action deteriorates. Professional traders sell into strength, especially with large positions where liquidity matters, rather than waiting for clear breakdown signals. The base count helps identify whether a stock is in early or late stages of its upward move, which critically influences selling decisions. Early stocks should be given time to make full-scale advances, while late stocks require different treatment. Bases 1-2 represent optimal entry points. Bases 3-4 are trading opportunities, while bases 5-6 are extremely failure-prone and signal selling opportunities. While high PE ratios are typical for growth stocks, tracking PE expansion provides valuable insight into a stock's life cycle stage. When a stock reaches a late-stage base, 4 or 5, and its PE has doubled or more compared to earlier bases, caution is warranted. Many leading stocks end their runs with accelerated advances called climax or blow-off tops. This pattern emerges as institutions liquidate positions by selling into retail buying enthusiasm. The stock price accelerates at a steeper angle than at any previous point, typically running up 25 to 50% or more in just 1 to 3 weeks. When a stock in a confirmed late stage has run up 10 of 11 days, watch for the largest up day and heaviest volume day. If heavy volume comes on a down day, big investors are liquidating positions. Key reversal signals include high volume reversals, churning, elevated volume without price progress, and the stock price dropping on the largest volume since the move began. While high PE ratios are typical for growth stocks, tracking PE expansion provides valuable insight into a stock's lifecycle stage. When a stock reaches a late-stage base, 4 or 5, and its PE has doubled or more compared to earlier bases, caution is warranted. Many leading stocks end their runs with accelerated advances, called climax or blow-off tops. This pattern emerges as institutions liquidate positions by selling into retail buying enthusiasm. The stock price accelerates at a steeper angle than at any previous point, typically running up 25 to 50% or more in just 1 to 3 weeks. When a stock in a confirmed late stage has run up 10 of 11 days, watch for the largest up day and heaviest volume day. If heavy volume comes on a down day, big investors are liquidating positions. Key reversal signals include high volume reversals, churning, elevated volume without price progress, and the stock price dropping on the largest volume since the move began. When a stock experiences material weakness, resist the ego-driven urge to wait until it snaps back. Extended stocks showing warning signs can drop hard and fast on surging volume. This major sell signal indicates institutional selling that you can't fight. The break-even or better rule uses the 50-day moving average as a trailing stop. When you buy a stock with an initial percentage stop, like 8%, and the stock advances, the 50-day moving average eventually catches up to your entry price. At that point, switch your stop to the 50-day line, which becomes your trailing stop to protect profits. Once a stock moves up 2 or 3 times your stop, a 2R or 3R trade, you gain flexibility. With a 7% stop and a stock up 14%, you can either sell half and move your stop to break even, or sell half and maintain your original 7% stop. This approach lets you hear the cash register ring while positioning for potentially larger gains. The conventional wisdom that you must take big risks to capture big returns is simply untrue. Minervini's 8 keys to unlocking super performance demonstrate how to achieve outstanding results with low risk. These keys address both upside potential and downside protection, forming the nucleus of super performance trading. The first 4 keys generate big performance. 1. Timing. Despite what experts claim, you can time the market successfully. Timing is everything in trading, just as in life. Success requires preparation for those right time, right place moments. To generate super performance, you must compound money rapidly through velocity trades that can gain 20 to 50% in weeks or months. 2. Don't diversify. Diversification dilutes your edge rather than helping you. To consistently achieve super performance, concentrate in just 4 to 12 of the very best names with most capital in the top 4 or 5 positions. This contradicts conventional wisdom, but wide diversification only produces average returns. 3. Turnover is not taboo. High portfolio turnover can be advantageous when you have an edge, despite conventional wisdom against frequent trading. With today's low commissions, there's no reason to limit turnover even in small accounts. Like flipping a coin with favorable odds, more trades means more profit when you have a mathematical edge. 4. Always maintain the risk-reward relationship. Take a short-term approach to losses and a longer-term approach to gains. Cut losses quickly while letting winners run. Continuously evaluate positions based on risk versus reward. For example, risking 7 to 8% to gain 15% creates favorable odds even with 50-50 success rates. The next 4 keys limit drawdowns. 1. Sell into strength. Professional traders sell into strength when eager buyers are present, while amateurs get greedy and refuse to exit winning positions. While a stock may continue rising after you sell, failing to sell into strength creates a bigger problem, watching gains evaporate when the uptrend eventually ends. To generate super performance, you must compound money rapidly through velocity trades that can gain 20-50% in weeks or months.